Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
When they traded up, I was definitely a little perked up a little bit. And then I got a text, because everything's so delayed, I got a text from my agent, marketing agent, who I love, and he said, he just texted quarterback. And I was like, oh, wow, okay. So I love scotch, but I've been drinking some sipping tequila lately as well.
Right.
And once I got that text, I went to the pantry. I poured myself, you know, about four fingers. And I knew it was going to be one of those nights where the people are going to start calling and there's going to be, hey, you know, everything fine, you okay? I'm like, yeah, fine. Like, you know, I wasn't elated by the pick, you know, especially being one game away from the Super Bowl and feeling like we're a couple players away. But at the same time, I understand it's a business. I know that's a reality.
That is Green Bay Packers quarterback and future Bears quarterback, he said, with imaginary intrigue. Aaron Rodgers on the brand new podcast, 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt, now available on Spotify and YouTube. And that is Aaron Rodgers on that podcast. And Kyle Brandt of the NFL Network joins us right now on 670 The Score via the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. What's up, Kyle? Good morning. Four fingers of tequila. That would take me a little while to get down. I'm not a huge fan of straight tequila, but, you know, whatever works for Aaron is probably just fine.
And yet, Matt, if you got a text that said, sorry, we just hired your replacement and you'll be leaving soon, you might be able to take down the four fingers. I don't know you well, but I'm glad to be on your show, and I bet you could get the job done in that circumstance.
Yeah, I probably could under the circumstance. It really, karma's kind of a bitch, right? It's like, I don't have anything against Aaron. I really don't. But just the way that he had an effect on Brett Favre and had an effect on the Packers, not by his own doing, and had to deal with all that, I feel like, is it going to be that protracted a period here for Rodgers to be living in Brett Favre's reality? Do you think this is going to go on for a while for him?
I don't. And more importantly, neither does he. When you speak to Rodgers, and if you see it on the YouTube, you can see it in his eyes. The thing that the word that I would describe Rodgers' feelings about the Jordan Love thing and Rodgers leaving the Packers, it's just certainty. There is a calm certainty that he has accepted his fate, and there is not an ounce of his body or brain that thinks that he isn't going to play down a football in another jersey. He'll play for another team, because this guy wants to play for a long time. He's on the Brady plan. Like, he wants to play into his 40s. And he knows for a fact in his brain, he's like, I know that I'm not going to be on the Packers. I know they're going to move on from me. It's like he spent the summer thinking about it. And now he's just had this relaxation that comes with leaning back and accepting your fate. And it might be a year, it might be 2 years, but I think it's going to be short. And so does he.
Yeah, you know, it's probably a healthier way to be about it, frankly.
Yeah.
Just kind of accept it and live with it. I mean, it happens to everybody. Brady's a buck, you know? I mean, it's like, how many examples do we need? Jerry Rice played for Denver and Seattle. So, yeah, it's probably going to happen. Has he entertained the idea of any place else specifically? Hint, hint, Kyle?
Well, it's so funny you say that, because he says things like, you know, I can see myself on another team. So I said, hold on a second. Let's get into this. Let's say it's a Saturday night and you're on your back deck and you've had four fingers, eight fingers, 12 fingers, who knows? And you're starting to let your brain wonder and what I might look like with another team and how could that go? And I just straight up asked him. I said, tell us, how do you look in a Bears uniform? Hmm. And he laughed and he said that would be tough. But Matt, he didn't say no. There was no, and I don't think it is a no.
I wonder what Bears fans would do. I think they would talk tough. Maybe at first, some of them wouldn't bother to talk tough, but even the ones who talk tough would embrace it immediately. I think as soon as they saw him here, but it would need to be for a little while. Like, I don't think you want to sign on, and you don't want to be the Rams in Joe Namath's career. You know, you don't want that. But
no.
at his age, you're looking at, what was he going to play another 7 years, another 8 years in his life?
36. So I think he wants to play a good 5 more years. And as far as any Bears fan, if you feel better about yourself talking tough for a while, if Aaron Rodgers were to be the Chicago Bears quarterback, do whatever you need to do to feel good. But believe me, you're coming over to the bright side. You're buying the jersey. You're celebrating. All it takes is one time when he breaks the pocket and hits Robinson with a flick of the wrist down the middle that hasn't been seen in Soldier Field, I don't know, ever. They would come over very, very quickly, just like the Vikings fans did with Favre.
Yeah, well, that's true. And so that example exists, and locally, and you know this and remember this, born in Hinsdale as you were and growing up around here. It's like, if Dennis Rodman can be a Bull, then anything can happen, really, you know?
That's true. And Dennis Rodman, I mean, I guess the only worst case would be the idea that Bill Laimbeer suited up as the Bulls, as the Bulls center. Because Rodman was hated, of course, because for what he did to Pippen, but he was also just weird. And it's a good example, though, Matt, because, you know, we hate Rodman, bleep Rodman, bad boys this, bad boys that. And then the second Rodman rips down a rebound and throws an outlet pass to Scotty, it's like, oh, I love Rodman, number 91. I'm going to dye my hair and buy his jersey. Trust me, they goes very quickly.
All right, so Kyle Brandt's on Good Morning Football, and a lot of people watch that and love that. And now the podcast. So is it going to be all football people? But, I mean, your waters run deep, man. I know you've got acting in your life. You've got real-world Chicago in your life.
Yep.
He's a Princeton grad. Your interests are all over the joint. So what are the guest parameters going to be here, Kyle?
Thanks. Yeah, I spent 4 months of my life in 2001 living at North and Damon in Wicker Park, having my life taped with six other strangers on music television. It is, you don't get a lot of that in the football industry. So I appreciate the question. And no, we've already done 4 episodes of this thing. And, you know, we've had football players on. Rodgers was the first, and we had the Honey Badger, Tyron Matthew. But I had Paul Rudd, who, of course, is one of the Avengers, and all going back to Clueless and Slapping the Bass and Anchorman and all of that. And what's fun about it is it's not just a conversation like every other podcast. I actually make a game out of it where I ask them questions about themselves. It's kind of trivia-based, and if they get it right, they get a point, and if they don't, they get nothing. So they leave with a final score, and Paul Rudd is down to the last question trying to beat Roger's score and wincing in anguish if he gets it right or wrong. It's super competitive, and you know athletes, Matt, like everything becomes a competition. So when you say you're going to get scored by this, all of a sudden they're ready to roll.
So 2001, I was playing in bands at the Double Door, at the Note.
Sure.
It was the Blue Note, and then it was the Note. I'm sure I saw you right there in that hood at North and Damon at the time. But that's not where I need to go back to. So as a Princeton guy, what was your order at Hoagie Haven? Because I grew up nearby in Lawrenceville. What was your Hoagie Haven order?
Oh, that's my favorite question I've heard in a long time. Well, here's the thing. It would depend on what time of night it was, and it would depend on how many beers it was. So I think the Haven closed, I think at 1 a.m. on Nassau Street. Mm-hmm. And if you skated in at 12:50 and got in, this is what I would do. Because I wanted the best of both worlds. This is the Hoagie Haven version of a surf and turf. I would get one cheesesteak and one chicken parm. So it was like kind of like a half and half. And I would always eat the chicken parm first and just burn the hell out of my mouth and then finish with the cheesesteak, which was all like mayo-y and greasy and cheese, and then you just pass out. But that was it. I went half and half. Did you have an order? You've obviously been to the Haven.
Yeah, half a number 8, the roast beef. I was a roast beef guy, just the way they did that. I kept it pretty simple. Where's the surf, though, in your surf and turf thing? Like the steak and the chicken and the parm, none of that is from the ocean. Kyle.
I'm not totally sure where the Hoagie Haven meat comes from, Matt. It comes from parts unknown. So it might just be a turf and turf. You're right.
Yeah, it's pretty much a turf and turf. Ross Tucker, another good guy to talk Hoagie Haven with, by the way.
Oh, I went to Hoagie Haven many times with Ross. And it just reminded me, the surf comes from the bag of Swedish fish that I would get on the way out. So that rounded it out.
No, tasty cake, man. You got to go tasty cake on the way out. Get the butterscotch crimpets. Kyle Brandt is on the Twitters. I believe it's at Kyle Brandt, which is a
creative way to do it.
And you can see him on Good Morning Football. I need to take you back, Kyle, now that I've buttered you up with niceties and Hoagie Haven conversation. I need to take you back to a couple weeks ago with this tweet from Kyle Brandt. There's a segment of the NFL media that seems to be almost rooting for COVID to affect the season. They want it. They see the Marlins news and say, yep, lots of luck, football. These are people who make their livings off football. I don't get it. This sparked conversation. I think I probably subtweeted you a little bit. So I'm wondering if there were specific people in your mind when you did this, or was it just kind of the feeling of the tenor of conversation at the time?
No, you know, the way that went down was it was almost a couple of weeks ago, and we were wrapping up our show in the morning, a three-hour show, and it was a tough show. It was tedious. It was not fun. And in the last half hour of the show, the Miami Marlins news started to come down, which, if everybody remembers, was dire. It was not good. And I just got down about it. I had a bout of depression, as we all have during these times at one time or another. And the show ended, and I'm kind of feeling down, and I did the worst thing you could do, which is go to Twitter. And, you know, Matt, I just didn't like the tone of some of the things that I read. I didn't like it. It irked me. And I just let my thumbs go, and I tweeted that. And, you know, I've been asked if I regret it. And my answer would be yes, but only because if anybody listening doesn't know what I'm about, I am not a provocateur. I am not someone who lobs grenades on social media to try to up my following. I'm not looking to incite. And there were people who I really respect, and I think even people, more importantly, people that I like, who were genuinely insulted by it. They really were. So I wish I hadn't done it just for that sake, because I don't make my living by just trying to have collateral damage on Twitter. And, you know, of course, the radio host, the columnist, the NFL lifer, someone who makes their living by the NFL, as I do, of course they're not rooting for the season to be affected. However, I didn't delete the tweet because I still think there is a thread of truth to it. I think there is a very small, pungent minority on social media that is rooting for the NFL to be humbled. And I just, that irks me, and I think that was the emotion that came from it.
That's very interesting. I appreciate the answer in the conversation, because as an opinioneer, right, as like, and you know, the most successful people in my realm of the business are provocateurs, you know, and I don't really like that realm of the business. If I have an opinion, I'll share it, but I'm not looking to, like, you know, and it probably explains a limited amount of success, like, it, you know, get a certain amount of reaction and just kind of feed off that as currency. But there is a difference, though, I think, between pointing out the logistical challenges and and I've done it today on the show. It's hard for me to imagine football happening logistically because of the nature of the sport and the nature of 150 people in a traveling party. You know, so we should be able to have those kinds of conversations without it coming off as rooting for the demise of a sport. So I think that can take place. Have you noticed that kind of conversation? And is that okay with you? That kind of logistical conversation about, are they actually going to be able to do this or not?
Of course, I welcome it. And that's why I thought the first episode of Hard Knocks was so fascinating. It was basically an anthropological experiment showing how we dealt with this back in 2020. It was incredible footage. And, you know, I'm the guy who's been screaming on TV about wear a mask. And back in April, I was screaming at people who weren't taking COVID seriously. So that's just the way Twitter works. And you one tweet and you can get grouped into someone who is maybe skeptical about the pandemic. I know what this pandemic is, and I have the receipts, as they say, to show it. So conversation about how is this going to be pulled off? Of course. Yes. I just, you know, what's most interesting, Matt, about that tweet is that it really insulted a lot of people. And like I said, a lot of people that I like. And yet, if it was just a stupid tweet that pissed people off, that's a dime a dozen. What was interesting about it is that thousands and thousands of people liked it, which is really has my brain in a pretzel.
Well, I think, because here's the part that I understand.
Yeah.
Is that we've both seen this. This business, in being an opinioneer, is filled with people who root for themselves to be right.
Yeah.
You know, and so if you are saying something and the next month it plays out, it is the very nature of the business to say, I told you so, mm-hmm. right? And so when that gets mixed in with outcomes that are damaging to people or, you know, are genuinely sure. damaging, that's really unseemly. That's really ugly. So I think there's part of me that absolutely empathizes with where you're coming from and that, but I think that's the failure of an opinioneer to not separate one from another.
Well, we're talking about different species of social media users now, and I think you and I are on the same page with that. Look, there's people who plant their flag on something, and they are going to die on that hill, whether it costs them their career or it blows up their career. And sometimes it's who's going to win the MVP. Sometimes who's going to be a bust. In this case, it's just there's some of that going on with what's going to happen to the pandemic that's sweeping the country. I don't have my flag staked in anywhere like that. And I honestly think about the conversation and certainly about the tweet that I did a couple weeks ago. You know, Matt, it's so much changes now. The story changes every day. And I do feel that a couple weeks back, the tenor was a little bit differently than it is now, especially since the college football news was really sobering. And, you know, anyone who is having any kind of perceived titillation about pandemic and what it's doing to the NFL, and I hope the NFL is brought to its knees, I think it's dissipated a lot, you know. And so in the time since my tweet, maybe I perceive less of that. Maybe my radar is a little bit down. But every single day the thing changes, and I think it's changed a lot since then.
Yeah, you know, I wonder if it has. And in terms of college football, there's a lot of people, I've seen this, where people are like, yeah, you don't deserve college football because the same people who've been saying, you know, don't wear a mask and it's overrated, you want your college football, yeah, you can't get it. And, you know, frankly, I feel that as a nation, we barely deserve sports. And I make my living in it, man. I want it. Like, I'm a baseball guy. I'm loving every minute of this, but it's so freaking awkward because I don't feel like as a country we've done our part in a lot of ways. So maybe that gets mixed in with people who want the NFL to be humbled. Out there
it could, man. It's so personal, you know. I make my living from football too, and if football goes away, like, we got some real problems. Is not only, never mind our show, I'm talking about families and children and things like that. So you know, maybe there's some of that, you know, I'm sensitive to people seeming to take some sort of ownership in predicting that the league wouldn't work out. And people also being sensitive to me saying that that's happening. It's a sensitive time. And I think 6 months ago when the NCAA tournament got canceled, we said this is crazy. But thank God there's plenty of time for football, and we'll get ready for that. And now, you know, we're not going to have Buckeyes Wolverines this fall. So it's really, really, really upsetting. And I don't know. People are in their feelings, as they say, me included.
Yeah, you know, understandable. All right. Appreciate your willingness to have the conversation.
Sure.
And I will be checking out the podcast. And nice to talk to you, Kyle. I hope we get football. I don't know. I mean, you got a gut feeling on it?
You know, if you would have asked me 2 weeks ago, I would say that the NFL season feels like a character in one of the shows you watch, in Better Call Saul or Game of Thrones, that where you're really rooting for them and you love that character, but in the back of your head, you know that they're going to get killed at the end of the show and you just don't want it to happen. I thought that was going to be the NFL season. But we rounded the corner. I really think that we're going to do it. And the question has gone from, are we going to start the season to, can we finish the season? I think they're going to kick off in September. I just hope that they kick off in February in Tampa for the Super Bowl.
Kyle, thanks so much, man. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Hey, Matt, great job, man. Really good to be on with you.
All right, good. You got it. It's from the NFL Network. Yeah, man. Like, I've always been bothered when the desire to be right gets it kind of overwhelms the conversation about what should happen, what should not happen, and what might actually be damaging. So I get that part of the conversation. But we have to discuss things. We have to discuss things and deal with the realities. And maybe he's right that the NFL is just going to be marching through like Roger Goodell, the giant Kool-Aid man blasting through the wall of toilet paper and paper towels and spraying hand sanitizer at everybody as he makes sure that football happens. It just doesn't make logistical sense to me that you could do it, football. But they're pros, and baseball's happening. Not in a bubble. Baseball's your closest comp because it's not in a bubble. It's just that the sport itself lends itself to the possibility of actually taking place through a pandemic. It's Matt Spiegel in for Dan Bernstein right here on 670 The Score. Fanlessness in baseball has been really fascinating, and we've learned some stuff. One of the coolest examples of this from last night, we'll bring you the audio of it, a great player giving you something you would never get in a normal fan-filled experience. It's Spiegel in for Bernstein on 670 The Score.
Like your sports page in the morning, Molly and Hall are first to let you know what happened with your favorite Chicago team last night.
Good morning to the engineers, the greatest show in radio history.
I'm here to wow you.
Molly and Hall, first and best, mornings 5 to 9.
I am here for you.
On 670 The Score, Chicago's number one sports station.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.